So, you've decided to audition for a Shakespeare play, or perhaps you've already been cast, and now you're wondering if it was really such a good idea. You've done what any modern actor would do, gone to YouTube and pulled up a video or two of the play you're going to do, and now you're really wondering if it was such a good idea. Will I be able to talk like that, you wonder, if the performer you were watching is John Gielgud or Laurence Olivier, Richard Burton, Patrick Stewart or Ian McKellen? The answer's probably no. Not without a good bit of training, at least, and particularly if you don't happen to be British. Or possibly if what you looked at was one of the countless amateur Shakespeare productions on YouTube, you may be wondering if the play is really as horrible as it looked. It probably isn't, unless it's Titus Andronicus. But that's a different sort of horrible. If you're doing your play in high school, you probably don't have to worry about doing that one. High schools today are considerably more likely to take theatrical risks than they were when I was in high school 50 years ago. But most would still draw the line at wholesale slaughter and baking people's children into pies and having them eat them. No, most likely you'll be doing Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet, Julius Caesar, or one of the comedies. If you happen to have two sets of male twins in a drama class, you'll almost certainly be doing the Comedy of Errors. I don't think there's a high school drama teacher around who could resist that temptation. Unless there are a lot of good singers in the class. But then the teacher might decide to do the boys from Syracuse instead, which is the same plot but George Abbott's words and Rodgers and Hart's music and lyrics. The thing most actors find intimidating about Shakespeare is usually the blank verse. Shakespeare sometimes wrote ordinary prose dialogue, particularly between lower-class characters, but in most of his plays a great deal of the dialogue is written in blank verse, which is to say it's poetry, but it doesn't have to rhyme, and generally it doesn't. Shakespeare's preferred poetic form is iambic pentameter. This is a poetic line consisting of five iambs. An iamb is a unit consisting of two syllables, and pentameter means there are five iambs, or 10 syllables, in each line. In a purely poetic form, the second syllable in each iamb gets the emphasis. And so we find that each and every one. That line's not from anything, by the way. It's just to illustrate the principle. It's also not, I should point out, the way you're likely to be doing it in a Shakespeare play. You have this basic rhythm, but the dramatic sense is what's important. For example, the king's first speech in Hamlet, found at the beginning of Act 1, Scene 2, would sound a little funny if we used such a strict rhythm. Though yet of Hamlet, our dear brother's death, the memory be green, and that it us befitted, to bear our hearts in grief, and our whole kingdom, to be contracted in one brow of woe. That sounds pretty stilted, doesn't it? You might also have noticed that Shakespeare wasn't always that strict in his syllable count. The first and fourth lines have 10 syllables, or 5 iambs, but the second line has 13 syllables, and the third has 11. The strict pattern gives way to what he wants to say there. It's a case of first you have to know the rules, and then you get to break them when it suits the artistic purpose. And now, what I've illustrated there is one of the ways that novice actors can mess up a Shakespearean speech. By strictly following the basic rhythm pattern of iambic pentameter, we get something that, as dialogue, sounds rather odd. Notice, too, that on those lines where Shakespeare has added an extra syllable, following that pattern results in a very strange delivery, because having an odd number of syllables means the last accent in the line is on the penultimate syllable. Penultimate means next to last, by the way, so if you've been using it to mean the last or the best possible, you've been using it wrong. That's just ultimate. But don't let that bother you, it's a pretty common goof. At this point, let me point out another way a novice can mess up this speech. That's by following the written text too closely. Though yet of Hamlet, our dear brother's death, the memory be green, and that it us befitted, to bear our hearts in grief, and our whole kingdom, to be contracted in one brow of woe. Pausing at the end of each line always seems natural, but obviously it doesn't sound natural. When we see something that looks like poetry, we tend to treat it as poetry. Sometimes, when it really is poetry, doing it that way works. Other times, it doesn't. So the way to say this little four-line fragment is more like this. Though yet of Hamlet our dear brother's death the memory be green, and that it us befitted to bear our hearts in grief, and our whole kingdom to be contracted in one brow of woe.